It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
It's just been really important to me that no matter how many, you know, wonderful headlines we're getting, whether it's about me or the brand, that I still am the same person that is going to treat people in the same way with the respect that they deserve.
I'm super excited to share some inspiration and insights from a powerhouse entrepreneur, Charlotte Knight. Charlotte's a beauty entrepreneur and the founder of three global beauty brands, Ciate London, Lottie London, and Skin Proud. I was sent some complimentary skincare and makeup products from Ciate London, Lottie London, and Skin Proud to try, and I have really enjoyed them so far. Charlotte and I are going to be talking about how to stay grounded amid success, a look into how she became an entrepreneur in the beauty industry, as well as how to navigate comparison on social media, how to boost self-worth and confidence, and the importance of setting boundaries and being able to say no. Charlotte's also going to share some big takeaways from her entrepreneurial journey and how she's built resiliency, being able to navigate failures along the way. I'm super excited about this episode. Let's go ahead and welcome Charlotte to the show. Charlotte, so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So you're joining me all the way from London. And I would love to just start by hearing a little bit about your background. You're running three companies and doing a lot of really cool stuff. So just if you could share a little bit about yourself and what you're currently up to, that would be great.
Yeah, of course. So yes, super, super busy. So how did it all start? Back in 2009, I was working as a session nail technician, traveling the globe, designing runway looks for fashion designers and doing like kind of lots of front cover magazine shoots, etc. And I just really yearned to have my own product. I wanted to have a product that I could unleash my creativity with and really just have this kind of outlet for everything that I was imagining. I was always mixing the colors and customizing the colors on set, but I could never send people anywhere to actually buy the polish. And so 2009 created Ciate, and really, you know, it was a teeny tiny brand initially, selling kind of bottles of polish and the like to salons and spas and other nail technicians. And then in 2012, we launched a product called the Caviar Manicure, which was the amazing manicure we had, the little beads that you sprinkled into your wet polish. And everything just catapulted from there. And we launched in Sephora in the US. And from there, we just kept like launching these incredible do-it-yourself manicure sets. Everyone could kind of like be master nail techs themselves at home. And then from there, we diversified into all things color cosmetics. And so in 2015, Ciate was able to offer all of its innovation through everything that you needed to have pigment, texture and color for your full face, which was super exciting. And, you know, that wasn't enough for me. So at the same time, we actually launched another color brand called Lottie, which was very targeted at the Gen Z consumer. You know, Ciate really kind of has always been about setting the trend, being this fearless brand that was able to put world first formulations out to market before anybody else. And really, Lottie is kind of the opposite in where it's reacting to trends. So looking at trends, blowing up on social media, on YouTube, on the red carpet, and working at lightning speed to bring those trends to the Gen Z consumer. Because when she sees something she wants it straight away. She doesn't want to have to wait for it. And so that's kind of been our secret sauce with Lottie since we launched the brand in 2016. And we also love a beauty hack, you know, being able to create gadgets and tools that enable you to get a wing stamp liner in 3 seconds. Or, you know, we all love the look of wonderful kind of sun-kissed freckles on our faces, but we're also really concerned about the damage that sun gives your skin, right? And how aging it is. And so we're all kind of educated to whack on this SPF 50 every day, but we're not getting, how are you going to get these cute little freckles then? So We created a tool where you can actually create your faux freckles and create these beautiful little cute freckles across your face. So love, love, love a beauty hack. And we're like, we want everyone to unleash their creativity at home and be able to feel masters at all things makeup. And so we just make it super easy and nothing is intimidating when it comes to the brand. And then our third brand that we launched in February 2020, when before the world as we knew it changed, we launched our newest baby, which is Skin Proud, which is a brand which is all about self-acceptance and actually being proud of the skin you're in. You know, mental health is such a problem amongst Gen Z and millennials, and you know, the constant unrealistic beauty ideals that we are served every single day, and the ability to alter your appearance through filters and Facetune and all of these different apps that are now available at our fingertips, we actually want to say stop. Just be confident in who you are. You know, it doesn't matter if you have some irregular texture or a regular tone. It doesn't matter if you have some breakouts or if your skin is not actually always perfect, because that's human and that's what we're all doing. We're all suffering with these things, and just really encouraging everyone to be proud of their imperfections as well as their perfections. And so the brand has had unbelievable success in various markets from launch, and I think it's because it comes with such a strong message. It comes with this platform of, you know, everything that we're trying to encourage our children to live by, even ourselves. Like, you know, we're even trying to have, you know, build more self-confidence in ourselves every single day, no matter what age we are. And that, you know, Skin Proud very much celebrates this in everything that we do.
I love that. And this topic is something I definitely wanted to touch on with you, because there are these standards that we see out there on social media in the beauty industry, and there's differing beauty standards out there. But now with Instagram and these social media apps, there is a lot of comparison that goes on. And some of it can be really unhealthy. And I'm wondering how you have navigated this in the beauty industry, how you have stayed grounded, and if you've had any personal experiences that have helped you be more confident in your own skin.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely think it's getting better, and I'm starting to see this trend on TikTok where actually people are being proud to say, like, I won't use a filter. This is me. Yeah. Accept me as I am. So I'm really happy that we're starting to see a shift. Mm-hmm. With myself and self-acceptance with me, you know, I surround myself with positive people, and I think that that is really important to enable me to have self-confidence and self-acceptance. You know, I think that over the years, it's been really important for me that no matter how many people are saying great things about our brand and about me as an entrepreneur, I've never believed my own hype. So I've never believed the hype, or believed, you know, the hype that is being created around me as an individual or the brands, because I think that's when you start to change and your whole personality starts to change. And I, you know, one thing that I've always been consistent is, doesn't matter how successful you are, how much money you're making, you need to be kind. You expect kindness to you, and you should be kind to others. And, you know, so many people I've seen in my career that have changed through success and changed for the worse as they've become more successful, as they've made more money. And I've just always kind of lived by this, you know, I treat others how I expect to be treated myself. You know, honesty, transparency. I encourage people to, encourage my team, my friends, my family, to, you know, support each other, to push each other up, to push each other forward, because that is what I need, right? So if we all do it to each other, then you create a really positive vibe. We've created a really positive culture within our organization because we live our life with that mentality, equally as a family and equally in my circle of friends, we very much do the same. And so I just think it's so, so important. And I think that, you know, you are in control of how you behave as a human being and how you want to be portrayed as a human being. And I think that it's just been really important to me that no matter how many, you know, wonderful headlines we're getting, whether it's about me or the brand, that I still am the same person that is going to treat people in the same way with the respect that they deserve. And I think that that's been really important to me. And it makes me feel more self-confident. It makes my self-esteem, you know, be intact, because I know that I am a good person and that I treat people well. And that's really important to me. So I guess it's important to understand what makes you feel fulfilled as a person, and you do more of that. And if that's how you, if that's how, if one of those things, as it is with me, is how you make others feel, then, you know, you're kind of, you're going to feel full of just self-worth. And I think that that's super important. And, you know, what is the key to self-confidence? And it comes from so many different places, doesn't it? It comes from, you know, one, surrounding yourself by people that make you feel great, and people who are super positive. If you have people in your life that constantly just are negative or bring you down or make you feel bad about yourself, it is okay to remove those people from your life, even if it's for a temporary period of time. There's a book I read called The Magic Art of Not Giving an F-U-C-K, and it was the most amazing book. And I recommend people to read it, because it just, it is so funny, but it's so real in actually how much of our lives we spend saying yes to things that we don't even want to do. And you kind of get railroaded into turning up to every single baby shower and every single christening and every single everything. And you might not feel like in that headspace where you really want to go, but you feel railroaded to say yes to everything. So it's okay to say no to things, you know, don't feel constantly railroaded into saying yes to absolutely every invite you get. Maybe you just don't feel in the headspace to go to every single christening and every single baby shower and all of the other events and birthday celebrations. I know sometimes if I've had a really, really intense week at work and I have an engagement to go to, and I know that it's going to involve copious amounts of alcohol, and I'm going to feel really bad the next day, sometimes I just have to remove myself from that invitation, because mentally I need to be on my game, and I have to feel really strong, and I can be super easily led. I can go with all intention of not having a drink and just being super self-controlled, but then you get into this circle of friends who are super fun, and before you know it, you know, they're whacking a tequila shot in your hand and they're like, just do it. And then before you know it, you're like feeling quite drunk in a nice and, you know, a nice manner, but you know you're going to have a heavy head the next day. And when you really have like this packed out schedule and you need to be thinking on your game, you know, maybe that's not necessarily the best way for you to be feeling. And so as I'm getting older, I am, you know, removing myself from situations that I just know are not right for me at that right time. And people are okay. You know, people aren't mad with you. They do. You know, so yeah, definitely, definitely that book was very eye-opening for me to have the courage and to say no.
Right. And that's such a huge thing for so many people, is that desire to be a people pleaser, to make other people happy. And sometimes you can lose yourself along the way. So setting boundaries, it's a constant thing that I think everyone needs to continue to work on, myself included. And I would love to segue now, Charlotte, to chat a bit about your journey as an entrepreneur, because I know that's not an easy journey. And there can be lots of ups and downs. There are a lot of unknowns, some unexpected surprises that can arise. So I would just love to hear some of the big key things that you have learned throughout your entrepreneurship journey.
Yeah. So I think one of the things I just touched on already, and that was about just being continue, no matter how big your team becomes, no matter how successful your business becomes, you know, I really kind of knew the type of entrepreneur I wanted to be. And I have always, always stayed true to that person, the type of leader that I want to be. And I have never changed that through the last 13 years of building my businesses. I'm still as approachable today as I was 12 years ago. I'm still as receptive to ideas and, concepts as I was 13 years ago. And I think that it's really important because I'm still Charlotte. Like, I'm still the same person. And in fact, I'm probably more open to other people's ideas and points of view than I ever have been. Because at the end of the day, we're achieving the success we're achieving because we're a team together, unified, all working towards this one goal. It's not just me that's created these brands and these businesses. It's all of us together. And so I kind of pride myself on being, you know, a coach, a mentor, a leader that's open and approachable and, you know, willing to listen and you know, but will also give constructive feedback to the team. You know, I try to ensure that I'm super responsive as much as I can be. There's nothing more frustrating for teams. And I know it from when I used to work in big organizations myself, and you're trying to move a project forward, but it gets stuck at a certain point because you're waiting for sign off. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many hours you throw at something or you invest yourself. If you keep getting roadblocked because certain people aren't making the decisions in time, then it's just really, you know, it's really disrespectful of other people's time and other people's kind of input into certain projects. So I try to be super responsive and respectful of other people's timelines and what they are trying to achieve. And because we're only going to achieve our goals if I also play my part in giving them what they need to have in the right time. So I definitely think that that's really key. You know, over the years, I've taken many, many risks in building these brands, and you know, in the whole, most have played out and been successful, but you know, a couple of times maybe we could have done certain things a little bit differently and had a better result, no doubt. But you know, Winston Churchill said that, you know, success is the ability to go from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. And so, you know, if everything that we had, that I've ever touched or decided upon, or you know, took the decision to take the business in a certain direction, had been successful, then I would not have any war wounds or any scars or have any of those learnings to apply for us moving forward. You know, so I definitely think these learnings that you have along the way is what makes you a stronger, more informed, even more robust business and entrepreneur, for sure. What else?
I have a question for you about that, Charlotte, if you wouldn't mind. So that I think is so important. And having that resilience, though, it can be challenging for some people to have that. If you do have a failure, if you do have a setback, if you hear a no, if you get those rejections, what has helped you be able to then move on to the next thing with that enthusiasm to be able to keep going?
Honestly, I just think it's utter belief in yourself and what you're trying to achieve. If you don't believe in yourself and what your business is trying to achieve, then you physically won't be able to overcome the rejection. You physically won't be able to overcome the failure. You will be so absorbed in that moment of why did they say no, why did it not work, why was this not a success. But instead, what I try to do is kind of analyze, okay, what could we have done better, a bit of a post-mortem on the situation. You know, if it was a kind of big failure, or you know, something went drastically wrong in what we were trying to achieve, you know, we have the ability to go back, and everyone is mature enough to be able to say, okay, what could we have done better here? What could we have done to avoid this situation? And some people are very unwilling or find it difficult to onboard that mentality because they're not willing to kind of like own that level of accountability. But at the end of the day, if we don't recognize how we could have done things better, how do we avoid it happening again? And that's just, you know, you have to be able to say, look, guys, we didn't do this so well. It has gone, it's failed. But what could we have done? How could we have planned better? And actually what I found is by thinking like this, before I even need to ask my team that question now, when things don't go quite to plan, they're already doing that because they know the questions I'm going to ask. So they're already looking at, how did this happen? What could we have done better? How could this inform us for the future? How could this have been avoided? Sometimes it is absolutely nothing that we could have done within our business, and it was complete external factors of how we ended in that particular position. And if that's the case, like, it would have happened to everybody. But in most situations, you know, you need to look at in your own backyard, and you need to actually make sure that everything is pristine in your area and your department and everything that we're doing before we start saying, okay, well, you know what, we ran this to perfection. There's nothing we could have done better. Right. And we would do it all over again if we were given the opportunity tomorrow, because most likely that's not the truth. And so I definitely think that I've just totally forgotten of the question you asked me. I'm so sorry.
No, this is perfect. And I think that you encompassed building that resilience, being able to deal with the failures and the setbacks, and, you know, really be learning from it, you know. And I think that is so key. You have to approach it like no one is perfect. And if you are someone, you know, it's okay to want things to go a certain way and to really try your best and give it your all. But even when you do that, you know, we're all human and mistakes will happen. You're not sure how things will play out. You know, there's the unknown. So I love that approach of just learning, growing, and having that mission where you know why you're doing what you're doing, and that drives you forward. But Charlotte, I would love to just briefly chat a little bit about how you've managed stress throughout this process, any self-care practices you use, and also, you know, you're a mother as well. So how have you navigated family and motherhood and doing all these businesses? You know, you got a lot going on.
I know. So stress, how do I manage stress? I love to exercise. I think exercise is a wonderful stress reliever. Never underestimate the power of a bath. A bath for me is the ultimate stress reliever. So every single day, once I finish my day of work, I will run a bath and lay in the bath. And I know, like, some people like grossed out by baths, but I find the hot water in a bath with just unbelievable foamy, luscious bubbles so relaxing. It is unbelievable. And it's almost like I can't start to switch off mentally until I have had that 20 minute soak in this piping hot water with these, like, and I'm just like an absolute fanatic when it comes to what I'm putting in the bath and what, you know, the candles. I go all out. Like, I have this 20 minutes, 30 minutes of self-care every single evening. There are no lights on. The candles are burning, and it's just my 20, 30 minutes where I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not having to, like, engage with anything, and I can just let my mind decompress. And honestly, like, I don't know how I would transition. That's almost like my transition point from, like, working day. Then, okay, now it's like home time, mum time, you know, me time. Because, you know, how much me time do we actually get when we, if we break down our week, how much time is actually spent on yourself? And that 20 minutes in the bath where, like, nobody is connecting with me in any which way, I'm like, that's my time. If that's all I get, I'm taking it, you know. So I love exercising and mixing it up, you know, with the reformer machine and doing a Peloton session with, like, you know, an outrageous Peloton trainer, because they just get you into the zone and you just escape for that moment, and you could just take on any, you could take on the world when you step off that bike. So I think that's really important. And kind of like every 6 weeks, I would say, I just try to take myself away for a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, and just kind of disconnect, be it walking through the forest with my dogs and just kind of coming away from technology, or going to a spa and just having some wonderful treatments and just kind of getting out of my normal environment, I think is just really critical for me to kind of, it's less, it's not that I do this and I don't think about work. I'm constantly thinking about work. Even when I'm having a massage, I don't even switch off during that. It's like, it's actually like not healthy because I'm on the massage bed thinking about work. But what I find is it is during those times where I'm having my most creative epiphany. Like instead of thinking about in the day to day and dealing with firefighting and dealing with this, like when I take myself away, it's those moments that I can think about, okay, oh, you know, an amazing idea that we could do for a product or a campaign, or, you know, whatever it might be. And it's like where I'm not tapped in to technology or I'm on calls all day or whatever, those moments. And it could be when, you know, I'm getting a massage and I'm completely unable to like lose myself in the whale sounds that is being played in the background. I wish I could, but I can't. And instead, I'm like thinking of some creative concept that we're going to bring to one of the brands, and that's okay. Like I accept that is okay. Like I don't put myself under pressure that I have to relax and not think about work. I think too many of us put ourselves under this incredible pressure where like you have to now not, you know, or our partners sometimes, you know, you now need to not think about work anymore and you need to now just relax. It's not so easy for us all just to flick a switch and just be like, okay, this is Charlotte game face entrepreneur and I'm going to flick a switch. And this is like Charlotte in the zen, completely relaxed. Like that switch doesn't exist. And if someone was to find that switch, send it to me because like I need one in every room in my house. But you know, that just isn't, I haven't found the ability to do that. So I accept it. I just accept it and it's okay. And then as for juggling motherhood, I mean, my daughter turned 17 this week.
Wow.
And so she less and less wants to hang out with mum. I'm told by people who are in their early 20s that she will want to start hanging out with me again when she's kind of in her early 20s. But she's going through this period of time right now where she's 17 and she's, you know, she's old enough that she doesn't need, you know, mum to be hanging out in all the places that she hangs out, and she can, she's trying to, you know, find herself and be Miss Independent. And it's okay. She needs me when she wants to buy some clothes or get a lift somewhere. So there are still needs, but my, you know, my relationship as a mother has just transitioned over time. You know, if I think back, when she was a baby, I was working away and she was in her carry cot and I'm like tap bouncing her carry cot with my foot as I'm like, you know, sending emails out and stuff. And then obviously we go to the toddler stage and you're kind of like whacking on kids TV in the background so you can still kind of maintain. And then she reached this wonderful age where she started to understand what mummy did, and she would come to the office and, you know, want to paint nail polish on all of these like wheels and have people like name them and do this voting thing. And she was just like loving it. Or we would walk into the store and she would start like re-merchandising all of the product, making sure that everything was placed in the right way. And so like we kind of reached this point where she realized what mommy did, and then she was super immersed in it. And then I guess her friends kind of thought it was really cool. And so then they would always be over like in the product cupboard and everything. And then but like I said, she's now reached this time where I think she finds it quite hilarious to add to her birthday list a gazillion brands, skincare brands, makeup brands that she wants on her birthday. And I'm like, oh, she's like, yeah, mom, but I saw this on TikTok, or I saw this, or, you know, this is really cool. And I just, you know, there's just this whole period where she's like, it's not all just about your three brands, mom, you know, there's a whole world out there. And I'm like, okay. So it's, you know, I love it. I love the fact that her friends come over now and they get ready for a night out. And it's almost like watching this is our target market, right? I'm like watching it come to life in my own home, listening to the way that they apply makeup or the little tips that they're giving each other. And again, even then, like it supercharges my creativity because I'm like, oh, this is how they see the world. This is what they want to see in their makeup bag. And they've even all started coming to me now with like product name ideas or products that they think that we can do. So I think that, you know, it just, motherhood goes through its various stages, right? So I think I've been lucky that she's been super supportive of me over the years. She's known that mummy needs to travel and, you know, mummy does long hours and stuff. And we've made it work. And yeah, it's incredible that, you know, she's becoming this young woman now, making her own purchasing decisions that involve yeah. other brands out there that are actually super expensive. So,
wow. Well, Charlotte, that's amazing. Thanks for sharing all that. And we're getting to that point where we're kind of coming towards the end, but I would love to hear any exciting things you have in the works or any news you have with your brands that you would like to share before we come to the wellness lightning round at the end.
Of course. So, I mean, we have just literally launched an incredible collaboration with Ciate, with the iconic and vivacious Iris Apfel. So we were in New York last week. We launched it with Iris. Iris is just such an unbelievable woman. You know, she turned 101 this year. For us to be able to collaborate with her, kind of, you know, such a moment for me. It's something that I've wanted to do for the last 5 or 6 years. And the fact that we are able to bring it to life is just truly something that I will, you know, forever be so proud of. We've got so many things in the pipeline. You know, we love doing collaborations. We've got really fun collaborations lined up for next year. We just dropped, literally in the last couple of days, our Lottie Vampire Diaries collaboration. So okay. For anyone who is obsessed with the Vampire Diaries, there is now the most amazing collection out there with that series, and people are going crazy for it because, I mean, anyone who's watched that series, I think, has watched it like 8 times over. That's an enormous amount of hours to devote yeah. to a series. So incredible products coming up, new category launches coming up, which you'll see in spring 23, which is super fun. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We love to excite and delight and just bring great product. I think makeup is really having fun again. You know, makeup kind yeah. of got a bit boring during the pandemic, but we're definitely seeing makeup being super fun. Like the looks being served at Fashion Week across the world, across makeup, across hair, across nail, were so vibrant, so fun. That I'm really excited to see what happens in the industry over the next kind of year, because I think we've all been so suppressed with mm-hmm. not wearing mm-hmm. much makeup. Yeah. There hasn't been much, like, exciting makeup launching, and now it's like all creatives out there have been unleashed, and I think there's just going to be no end to what we see. So obviously, as the founder of 2 makeup brands, it's going to be exciting. So expect nothing less than excitement, and we'll just keep delivering.
I love it. Amazing. And I will put links to everything in the episode details so people can click there. And couple of questions for you, Charlotte, before we come to a close. First one is, what do you have a favorite product? Do you have a favorite product that you use, or a piece of makeup that is like you put it on every day? It's like your go-to.
I do. My favorite product in the whole world is the Ciate Dewy Sticks. It is a completely pigmentless balm stick that you use to basically highlight your cheekbones, your collarbones, your shoulders. It is so wonderful. And anyone of any age can use this product, because most highlighters that are powder actually show up your lines and crevices can do a bit more, because the powder and the pearl sit in the lines and accentuate it. Whereas Dewy Stick is literally this wonderful balm that you can just warm up on your fingers, and you can place it there. Look at me putting it, like, demonstrating. I don't even have to have product on my hand. And you can whack it on your cheekbones. I even use it on my lips if they feel a bit dehydrated. If I've got any stray hairs that are going a bit crazy, I use it to kind of slick out my hair. It is like the most universal, unbelievable product that we've ever launched. And it's like any one of my friends that are going on a vacation or just anywhere, I'm like, you have to have a Dewy Sticks in your bag. It's your absolute go-to.
Love it. Amazing. And then the last question I have for you, Charlotte, knowing what you know today, what advice would you have given to yourself from 10 years ago?
From 10 years ago. Oh my goodness. Hold on. What advice would I have given myself? I would have said, Charlotte, you need to make sure that you have created the most incredible hand sanitizer by 2020.
Right? That's a good one.
There is going to be an unbelievable demand for hand sanitizer. So create a brand of the most incredible hand sanitizer that just happens to be ready to go from February 2020. And if I had given myself that advice, well, you all know the rest.
I love it. Well, Charlotte, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for taking some time with me today. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps this show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Now for a disclaimer. The contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. Always consult your physician before taking any medications, any over-the-counter drugs, any supplements, vitamins, or herbs, and consult your physician before starting any new lifestyle programs. All information, views, and statements shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. They have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Opinions of guests are their own, and Crystal Bauer and this podcast do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. Neither Crystal Bauer nor this podcast takes any responsibility for possible health consequences of a person or persons following the information in this educational content. Always consult your physician for recommendations specific to you. If any product mentioned in this podcast has been received from the manufacturer or public relations team for that product with the express intent of editorial consideration, the product will be identified as such. A product for which Live Greatly receives some form of compensation for promoting will be identified as such.